Hi, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Lauren Leibowitz's How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and it's Thursday, July 23rd, and I'm coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. My guest today is Zach Kleiman. Zach has been a Los Angeles tennis pro for the past 30 years. And he's been recently profiled in Tennis Magazine and was the focus of a Wall Street Journal article on mental health practitioners who blend exercise and talk therapy. And so, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Zach to the show. Hi, Zach. It's great to have you here. Zach? Hello, Zach.
Hello, Lauren.
Hello, Zach. Welcome to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We're live. We're live on the air.
Finally.
I know you've been anticipating.
It's been a whole day of waiting.
And you know what? Our viewers have been waiting too. It's so great to have you on the show.
Thank you. How's your father first?
Oh, very well. He's doing
good.
Very well.
Great.
Very well. Thank you. Thank you for asking. Just so our viewers know, my father just had some minor surgery, and he is coming along nicely. His shoes are more comfortable now, as we shall say.
He's wearing them better.
He's wearing his shoes better now. Exactly, exactly. So I want to get to, I guess I have several questions I'd like to ask you, but I want to find out how you combine your tennis instruction with counseling.
It's pretty easy. People tend to bring everything with them when they walk on the court. They bring their talents, they bring their fears, they bring their wonders about are they capable and will they be able to do what they want to do and what blocks them from that.
So my
work is to help unblock those blocks, and some of them are psychological, some are emotional, and some are just false senses of insecurity.
So let's, as an example, let's say I have an issue with dealing with anger, and I come to you. What kind of tools do you use to help me deal with my anger on the court?
Well, first we'd want to see how that anger manifests. Do you implode or explode, Lauren?
Oh, oh, so you are? Yeah, I'm getting. Hey, how nice! I'm getting a little free therapy. I implode.
And when you implode, do you lose power and hurt your body?
Probably yes. Sure.
So if somebody comes onto the court and says I'm really angry, and they realize that they are an imploder rather than an exploder, we start to feel how the body restricts them from expressing that anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to watch how that anger releases from the body through the path of the tennis ball, the tightness of the grip, the tension in their cheeks, and do they see the ball while they're angry?
Well, I gave anger as one possible example. What other kinds of issues do your clients bring to you on the court?
I've worked with people with obsessive compulsive disorders, eating disorders. Anxiety seems to be a very popular one. Eating disorders are fascinating because they're all about control and controlling one's environment and beginning to learn how to let go, how to trust that their body can take care of itself without them obsessing over every morsel that they eat or expel from their body.
Right.
And we start using the tennis ball to be the watching what's coming in and watching what's going out and how much they have control over it without overeating or undereating.
I know you live in Los Angeles, and so Los Angeles being the entertainment capital of the world, a lot of people maybe some of even your clients deal with the issue of wanting to have a certain appearance all the time, and what will people think if I don't have that certain appearance? So I think that might be a challenge also for a lot of people.
About self-image, people coming in with issues around self-image. Is that what you're, headed?
Yeah, well, there's just so many topics. I want our listeners to kind of get an overall view of the kinds of areas in which you are able to help.
Well, some people try to use the tennis as a way to lose weight on a very, very simple level. They want to burn calories, have fun hitting the tennis ball, run around the court, play some points, and burn 600 calories in 45 minutes to an hour. But others want to be more comfortable with their bodies as they are. And that is more up my alley, as it were.
So how many...
To be much more comfortable with the body at whatever the weight is, whatever the role, if we're dealing with an actor in a role, if they're supposed to be a certain type and they're not, but they were hired anyway, how do they accept themselves? And not...
So that's very interesting. You can also help actors learn their lines in a way that's beneficial to them. Explain that even more. That's very interesting.
A lot of the actors I work with will often bring their scenes to the court and will play out the scene while they're hitting tennis balls so they can get to feel the emotional parts through their body and watch if they're speaking out of their head when they really need to be speaking out of their feet, if they need to be talking faster and responding to their scene partner faster. I can speed up the pace of the ball so that they have less time to think. If they have to think, then I can slow it down and they can have more time to think. And how they respond to each shot will be represented by what they're experiencing before they hit the ball.
That's fascinating. I find that very interesting. So how did you get started in this type of teaching? Who introduced you to the sport of tennis to begin with?
I think it was Dad, or it was me. It was me. I introduced myself to it because my father played on his only day off, and I wanted to do something with him. So I said, "Let me play." So I think it was me.
Did you play with your father?
We played a lot together. He's the one who helped me see the ball better at the very beginning. One of my first acting clients was Alan Arkin, and he was training to do a movie, and he needed to not just play tennis, but play tennis off the walls. He had to play indoor tennis for the particular part he was playing, and we got to work together for a few weeks to prepare him, and we realized that he had to begin to trust that he could do it, not worry about doing it at all, but that he could trust himself as an athlete. And that's pretty much all we worked on.
Right. Well, I gather if people necessarily might not know how to play the sport of tennis, who come to you, is that correct?
Well, I missed one word in there.
That some of your clients may not necessarily know how to play tennis, and that's not a prerequisite to come to you. You don't have to know how to play tennis.
No, I've recently been working with a lot of people who don't play tennis, and I've had many people who just come to the tennis court to work out some of their anxiety and mental issues. A lot of parents bring kids who are having trouble in school with focus and concentration, so the exercises on the tennis court will help somebody focus for longer periods of time through various exercises that I use with watching the ball and counting how many shots one hits over in a row and learning how to keep one's attention for much longer periods of time.
So it sounds like you have an age range from children of what age? How early do they come?
My line is 2.5 to 86.
You really help a 2.5-year-old?
Well, I don't know about help, but...
Oh. Wow, I guess that's a powerful question.
Yeah, I don't know about help, but get them started, you know, maybe for 10 or 15 minutes. Sometimes they at 2.5 they can hold a racket and hit the ball, but that was pretty rare. And you've
had an 87-year-old. That's your eldest.
86 is the oldest woman playing national championships in her 80s, and another guy who started playing when he was 66, the day he retired from being a lawyer. And I met him 20 years later when his daughter brought him for me to help him. He was still having tantrums at 86, so our work was to calm him down.
That's incredible.
He's very excitable.
Well, I'm a huge tennis fan myself, so
Do you play?
I do. I play a doubles game once a week. I would like to play more tennis. I had my own aspirations of being a professional tennis player. I played on my high school tennis team, but I love the sport. I think it's a wonderful sport, and because it's a solo sport where there are no team players, so to speak, except if you play doubles, where you can confer with someone and think about strategy. And if you're playing singles, you're out there on your own to solve whatever problems arise during that game, during a point. So
yeah.
Your approach to
I do work with a lot of couples who both for singles and doubles where they have to either play together or against each other on leagues, and how they both get along off the court and on the court. I actually just wrote a story about a couple, I'm writing for Soul Pancake.
Yes. Tell me more about that. That's Rainn Wilson, the actor on The Office. That's his website, is it correct?
Yeah, Rainn started the website. He's a client of mine, and he asked me if I would write a story for his site, and then we've now turned it into a column called Conversations from the Court. And one's being posted tonight, I think, about compromise. And next week or 2 weeks from now, it'll be one about a couple, how they warm up together at home versus how they warm up together on the court, and how their fights at home actually match their fights on the court, and they're trying to learn how to fight better. Which will
so there's
make
no
their
resolve,
tennis
right?
But so that makes their tennis better. And then they have and ultimately have more fun.
So if I don't know if I heard correctly, you're saying that their arguing makes their tennis game much better?
Well, they're learning how to argue. They're learning that their arguments at home reflect the arguments on the court. Mm. And then as they learn how to fight better at home, they realize that they can compete better in the best sense of competition to bring out the best in each other. That they can do that on the court too. So the work is they bring their home struggle in to the court, and then we work it out so that it helps their tennis and their life.
From all that you're telling me, it's as if your clients through the platform of tennis or I read your bio, any sport, whether it's golf. I know you help people who play other sports. Is that correct?
You know, I've worked with a lot of golfers.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with the Olympic fencing team. I work with some basketball and soccer teams. I work with guitarists. I do the USC summer guitar camp for professional players and work with them on their inner guitar life. I understand music a bit, but the... it's about their performance and are they getting out of themselves what they are anticipating.
Now, are you a licensed therapist?
I am not.
Oh. So do you work...
Should we end the call here?
No, not at all. It's a little kind of not even out of the box thinking, but stepping outside the box thinking. So
I work with 7 psychologists and psychiatrists over many years who refer clients to me to augment as an adjunct to their in-office therapy, to work with them out of the office, to physicalize the experience they have in the office. And most of the clients give us permission to talk and discuss where we can go. I've worked with some gambleholics who psychologists have recommended so that they can work out their perfectionism on the court, their need to dominate and feel in control. And we, the three of us, the client, the psychologist, and myself, work together probably 2 or 3 times a week to help ease some of the pain that the gambleholics go through.
Fascinating, truly fascinating work. So let me ask you this, Zach. Did you have a mentor? Was there someone in particular that helped you see your life or your game in a different perspective?
The guy who wrote The Inner Game of Tennis, Tim Galway, is my mentor. We work together till now. We sort of give each other lessons. We help each other with our own stuff. So he's continuing to be my mentor, and in a way I'm now helping mentor him through his journey, and actually helping him on his new book, The Inner Game of Stress, which should be coming out later this year.
Sign me up. Buy me a copy. Stress. I think that's probably one of the major issues many people deal with, is how to deal with the stress in their life, especially in today's economy.
Yes,
things are challenging for most of us. So how do you deal with your stress and still see the ball and be able to be happy, be comfortable in your own shoes and whatnot?
Hopefully we try to see stress as a friend or as a request for us to pay attention, that is, to learn how to not see it as a threat, to learn how to not dread a situation but begin to build inner trust, inner faith, inner belief from things that are untouchable by others, that if we get thrown something that we know we can catch it. And the building blocks that are within us is what I think and have experienced ultimately help us live almost stress-free.
Oh, I'd love a stress-free life. But it's your perspective, your attitude, how, like you were saying about stress, how you take stress and maybe utilize it as a sign to say, oh, something is troubling me, or
requesting something of me. It stress might be a way toward our courage, not just an attitude.
It brings us
closer to the person we really want to be, and to not be afraid of that. Stress is usually about conflict, about tension possibly between what I want and what I'm getting.
Conflict. I know a lot of people have, I know of people personally who are non-confrontational, so they do whatever they can to avoid that.
Well, and then they avoid it with themselves.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
If I'm afraid to confront something within myself that is resisting, like if I'm resisting writing the next story for Soul Pancake, I have to go, I'm going to struggle. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to worry about the deadline. I'm going to go, oh, should I teach? Should I not teach? Should I get on the, my mind's going to go all over the place, instead of just trusting that if I know that I can write, that I can just write the next sentence and then build from there.
You said an interesting word, trust.
Trust.
Trust. I think that, that might be if someone is given a task to do, let's say writing a column for a blog, and they love to write, but this would be the first time they would ever enter that blog sphere. And so the trust that that writing is qualified or it's good writing and not judge that writing, I think a lot of people might maybe self-sabotage because it's that trust. I'm not sure, and not go ahead with that experience because of trusting themselves.
I also took over a blog site. I think I mentioned it to you, Tennis Diary.
Oh, yes. Tell me about that.
I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with finding my voice for that particular site, which is a very different voice than the Soul Pancake site.
What is the voice? What is it that you want to express to?
I have unsurety about it. I'm still experimenting. I've put up 15 or 25 blogs on the Tennis Diary site, and I'm still finding out that that's a different audience than who reads Soul Pancake. And
so who does read Soul Pancake? Who is the audience?
It's a different demographic. It's younger, from what I've understood. They have a longer attention span. They can read long. The articles can be longer. But it goes through very quickly on Soul Pancake, whereas the ones on Tennis Diary stay up longer. And one is, do I need to get into facts or can I tell stories for the other one? And I am beginning to find it, and it takes trust. I have to really dig in and trust my voice to write those words.
Right. And it's about, I guess,
just
your...
Just as you had to trust to start this radio blog.
Right. Well, that, you know, I've learned that myself through a series of experiences in my life, that the magic that comes from the trust is so incredible. So once you have an opportunity to experience that, if you can be vulnerable and just go through that vulnerability, you will have magic. It's a guarantee.
Yeah, it is.
The magic will be there, but it's that trust. Do I? Don't I? Am I unsure? Do I put my foot in the water and touch it and take that tiny step forward? And that's I think that's what this show is about. To, you know, you can try on several pairs of shoes and see how it fits. They might not all fit comfortable, but take that little step in that new pair. And then
yes, or close your eyes and put on the old pair and then serve.
Exactly. And I think if most people just kind of jump in, not worry about the outcome, but it's that moment-to-moment experience. And that's what I have found in my experience is the beauty of it. I think we all face fears, our own fears, and if you can go through your own fear of whatever it is you're doing and realize that, you know, it's just the unknown. If you're okay, you'll be okay, and you might be better for it going through it.
Yeah, I think it was my father who said, don't worry about the outcome, worry about the income.
I love that. Can I quote you on that?
Give it to my father. But that was, he was more concerned about the ball coming toward him than about where it was going to go.
Yeah.
And that was crucial. That's a crucial aspect to this teaching. I know where I want it to go. Will it go there? I'll find out. But more in order to hit the ball, I had to be much more concerned with what's coming into me than what's going to happen a few seconds in the future.
Well, you know, as I said earlier, I do enjoy playing a game of tennis or to myself, but I also enjoy watching professional tennis. And just watching the recent Wimbledon with the top I guess, 1% or so players of the world, and seeing these, like Roger Federer, Andy Roddick, seeing their skills as a professional tennis player, and what differentiates them from another professional tennis player. I think the mental game is key also in any kind of sport, but I always love to watch a match and see, wow, you have Roger Federer has a powerful forehand, Andy Roddick has an incredible serve. How do you change your mental approach to win? I want to pose that question to you.
Good. I hope we have less than 30 seconds.
It's a 30-second answer.
Tell me
You want the answer now? I'll give you the answer.
The build-up was pretty good.
You know what?
How does one become a champion? Is that what you're asking?
I guess, a winner. How does one become a winner?
Can we do that on our next?
We can do that on our next.
On our next show.
On our next show. I want a next show. You know, Zach, you have been playing. You've been a tennis pro for the past 30 years. So I want to ask you this question: Are you comfortable in your shoes?
Much more than ever. These last 5-6 years have kept tearing away worry, and it's just been so much easier with some publicity, which helped, actually unsolicited publicity, and just willing every day to go out there and take the risk and put my thoughts and my mind and my spirit out on the line. So yes, very, very comfortable, and in a way being my own champion. What Federer and Roddick and Blake and those guys show us, I think, I hope, or they show me, is it's got to be willing. I have to be willing to take the risk. I won't always win. I won't always lose, and things are going to happen to help me become a better player, whatever game I choose.
So do you think if you could give our listeners one piece of advice, what would that be?
Risk. Take the risk. Try something you didn't try yesterday. Be willing to listen to advice from others. Try somebody else's shoes on. You just don't have to be comfortable in your own shoes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's wonderful, wonderful advice. So we're almost... I might have to
take that
advice myself. We only have a few minutes. What's that?
But I know you do wear a lot of hats.
I do.
And that's part of a risk that we all take. I'm a coach. I'm a husband. I work with kids and adults.
Yes.
I deal with a lot of different sports. I deal with a lot of different issues that people bring toward me. And I have a constant malleability to an interest in a lot of different things. Maybe the key is curiosity. I am just very interested.
That's terrific. I hope our listeners take your advice, risk, curiosity, and we only have a few minutes left. How can our listeners contact you?
Z as in Zach, metaphorman, METAPHORMAN, at juno.com, JUNO.com.
Excellent. I think I might log in and check you out myself. It sounds what you're doing is fabulous. Well, before we go, I just want to thank our listeners for tuning in, RW and my staff for making this a fabulous radio show, and, of course, Zach, a very special thank you to you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
I'm Lauren Leibowitz. You're welcome. Please, we have to do it again, definitely.
I'm ready.
You're ready.
I'm ready. Let's do it in a month.
Okay, so it's love right now, right?
It is love 15.
Love 15.
Yes.
Okay.
You're ahead.
Okay. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. See you on the radio next Thursday, July 30th at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Bye-bye.